We are now inside the Olympic Theatre. Let's stop and savour this beautiful space for a few minutes. Sit on the original wooden steps from the 1500s. Andrea Palladio, who was also a member of the Olympic Academy, was commissioned to design this theatre. Work began in 1580, and the theatre opened on March the 3rd, 1585. However, Andrea Palladio died in 1580, the year in which construction began. One of his sons, Silla, along with Vincenzo Scamozzi, Palladio's student and the designer of the beautiful scenes, completed this work. Palladio modelled his design on the writings and the theatrical complexes built by the Roman architect Vitruvius, who used to design open semicircular theatres. Since Palladio was working in a pre-existing space, which he had to adapt, he needed to choose a semi-elliptical shape design for the theatre. There are three parts to the structure. The cavea and its 13 steps, which we're now sitting on, the orchestra below us, and the scenes in front of us. The scenes were permanent and composed of two main parts, proscenium, with a triumphal arch in the centre, and the background representing the city of Thebes. Everything that you see is in its original state. Behind you, above the cavea, are several statues representing Roman warriors, which are really members of the Olympic Academy who agreed to pay to build the theatre. The statues are made of plaster, with papier-mâché and an interior iron frame. When Napoleon came to Italy in 1796, he tried to remove some of these statues, but upon realizing how fragile they were, he was forced to leave them where they are today. The arch at the center of the proscenium is made of brick, covered with plaster rather than stone. Above is the Latin motto of the Academy, which reads, "Founded upon Olympic virtue and genius, the Academy has erected this theatre." In the niches stand statues of the members of the Olympic Academy. It looks like in the second niche from the right, with the triangular tympanum, is a statue of Andrea Palladio, the figure with a beard. It seems that it was built many years after his death, but there is reasonable doubt as to whether it truly resembles him. In the higher part of the proscenium are bas-reliefs of Hercules, the heroic symbol of the Olympic Academy, who using his virtues was able to obtain glory. Vincenzo Scamozzi built the wooden scenes behind the proscenium for Sophocles' tragedy, Oedipus Rex. The tragedy was set in Thebes, a city known for its seven roads. If you count though, you can only see five. The other two can only be seen by moving from one part of the theatre to the other. Examine the road underneath the arch, called the Via Regia. How long would you say it is? It's actually only 12 metres long, but it seems much longer thanks to an optical illusion created by Vincenzo Scamozzi. To help create this illusion, in the first production, lights, candles and people of various sizes were used. In fact, if a normal-sized person enters the scenes, they break the optical illusion. The set was dismantled only on one occasion, during World War II, when, in order to protect it from air raids, it was moved to the basement of the Basilica Palladiana. If you look upwards, you'll notice a depiction of the sky painted on the ceiling. Roman theatres were outdoor ones, and initially this theatre was only covered with a velarium or a fabric awning used to cover the audience. Later, in 1800, this ephemeral sky was added, which is reminiscent of an open space. Vincenzo Scamozzi later built another theatre similar to this one, but much smaller, in the town of Sabbioneta, near Mantova. The Olympic Theatre is open to visitors all year round and hosts an important musical performance in May and June and a theatrical performance in September. There are no other events as it is not possible to heat or cool this theatre. We will now leave the theatre. As we move out, try to observe the lighting devices used in the first performance from the hall, Antiodeo, which we passed through earlier. They are all of different sizes to maintain the optical illusion of the scenes that we described earlier. If you look up at the frieze just below the ceiling, you'll see refined monochromatic scenes. On the right, there is the reception of Japanese envoys depicting Indian princes converted to Christianity.